This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk to Andrew Brandt. It's been a while since we've talked to him on the show, but always has good information and opinions. But the Chiefs have won a few Super Bowls since we last had you on. Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, good to be with you as always. It's great to see my old friend Andy Reid. I've known Andy since Green Bay, Wisconsin, when he was there in the 90s. And obviously, living around Philadelphia, I knew him here. I'm sitting in my house, which is about six blocks from his old house. And great to see him have this success because I've known him so long, just kind of a guy that always has been sweating and toiling without publicity for so long, and now he's getting all the love.
He is getting all the love, winning three Super Bowls in the last 5 years with, you know, every chance to win some more with Patrick Mahomes and all the rest of the talent that's been put together. When you look at his body of work, and I know that there, you know, he's, you know, Bill Belichick has got some huge numbers up there when it comes to championships and wins. But I mean, when it's all said and done, I mean, Andy's going to be right there in the conversation for one of the GOATs, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see, like you said, when it's all said and done. I always hear these comparisons of players that are still playing or coaches that are still coaching with those that have stopped. So it's kind of unfair until everything sort of stops going. Listen, I think the Chiefs are an example of a team that, you know, decides on priorities. The one thing that everyone has noted on the Chiefs this year is that they become a different team and one along the way without the high-flying explosive offense of the past led by Tyreek Hill, and more of a do-what-they-need-to-do opportunistic team with a really strong and young, that's the key word, defense. I think what happens with teams is that they have to decide on priorities. I did this in Green Bay for 10 years. Of course everyone pays the quarterback, and of course people look to pay the defensive pass rusher, the star on the defensive line, the offensive tackle, maybe a shutdown cornerback. But the way the cap is in the NFL now, it's not really that hard because you have 60 to 70, some teams 80% of their roster on rookie contracts. So when you talk about a $250 million cap and you've got 70% of your roster making cap numbers of $1 million or less or around that, you should have no problem paying your elite players elite contracts. What gets teams in trouble is all this extra fludge from restructuring contracts, and a player will be making $10 million, but will have a cap number of $20 million from all this leftover proration that they tried to push out in the past. So my personal philosophy at the Packers was to try to not do that. Maybe you have to squeeze a little more in the present, but it leaves you flexible for the future. And we've seen teams really go through cap jail because of, not because they're paying players, because they restructured players that are counting on cap long after they're gone.
So do you, like, you know, we talked about Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Kelce and and how much, you know, they deserve and they get a massive amount of credit. Does Brett Veach get enough credit for the job that he does working with Andy as the GM?
I think so. I mean, the thing about credit in sports, at least that matters to most people, is credit within the industry and the peers. And I think he's thought of very well by his peers. You know, the media and fans, that's just whatever. I don't know where, you know, where median fans go when it comes to ranking top general managers, but I think the whole thing to me is organizational. The best teams, of course, have the three parts of the organization on the same page, which are coaching, personnel evaluation, and cap and contract management. You see problems out there where you see coaches that demand older players, where you have a strategy of more draft and develop, building through the draft and building young players, where coaches want security blankets that are older and cost more, and that leads to nothing but failure. So the Chiefs have done a good job aligning everything. I mean, I think you go back to the Hill trade. That is a massive move for an organization to decline to pay the most explosive player in the league and to have a unified decision that we're going to allocate that resource differently and we're going to suffer. And suffer they did. That is not a good receiving core compared to the rest of the league. And they were able to overcome that shortcoming because they traded that player.
And that's a large part of how they built that young defensive roster that you talked about that maybe allows
right.
you to pay some other players, right? I wanted to build on something that you said about the salary cap jail that some teams find themselves in because they restructure contracts, they kick the can down the road, and then finally the bill comes due. I'm not a capologist, so I just kind of look at – I don't dig into the details too much. I'm curious your thoughts on it. We saw this offseason that they did another one of those deals where Mahomes took a little bit of a restructuring to free up some cap space. And then with the Chris Jones contract, I think the number – what does he count? Like $7.5 million against the cap this year. I would assume that bill comes due down the road. Any fear that moves like that cause problems down the road for the Chiefs, or do you feel like they're being pretty responsible with going for that three-peat while also not putting themselves in jeopardy of cap jail down the road?
Yeah, I mean, listen, people have to understand that it's never a short-term look. You have to look long-term. Now, I would imagine when they're doing those moves, they're preparing for the time when those cap numbers go up. And I negotiated with agents for 10 years, and they would always say the same thing, which I rolled my eyes and told them to shut up, which they would say, hey, Andrew, I can make it cap-friendly for you. And what that means is I can make it a low cap this year, but it's going to be a very onerous cap later. And I never wanted that. Because you have to figure out your staggered contracts. Now, it looks like the Chiefs have stars under contract for a long time, but there are going to be other needs. There are going to be stars that come up for contract, and you have to plan for that. And usually the mode for a lot of teams is, okay, let's do this big contract and let's keep it low early, and we'll worry about the high cap numbers later. I've admired cap managers that have loaded significant cap early. Because if things go south with players, they retire, you want to trade them, you want to cut them, you're prepared. You know, you can cut a player, trade a player, have a player retire, and still be in good shape. Now, it's tough. You have to have a lot of cap room. But if you're paying a guy, say, first year number 20 cash, 20 million cash, the more you can load in cap that's as close to 20 as possible, the better it's going to help you down the road. Because anything that's not paid in cash, in terms of a cap number, it's going to hit you later. And, yeah, the teams like the Saints and Rams, you know, these teams have pushed out problems. You can be successful. I don't want people to think you're going to stink. But only and only if you have young players playing above their pay grade. And this is my old team, the Packers. They were carrying $41 million this year, $41 million on Aaron Rodgers. Yet they were a playoff team, a second-round playoff team, because they had young players perform way above their pay grade. They had a receiving core that in total made less than Valdez-Scantling that they let go, and they had a quarterback making relatively rookie money, yeah, they can do that $40 million cap hit. But if you're not prepared to have young players take over, you can't do well.
Andrew Brandt's our guest. Okay, so there's a really interesting situation going on right now with the Chiefs. As we mentioned, they already signed Chris Jones to an extension, a long-term deal. But now they have L'Jarius Sneed, who was fabulous last year. They have him on the franchise tag. It was reported by Matt Verderame yesterday that his asking price is $22 million plus per year because he wants to be the highest-paid cornerback in the league. And he also reported that the Chiefs and at least one team had agreed to a trade, but Sneed turned down an offer for 4 years, $80 million. L'Jarius Sneed at about 4 in the morning today retweeted that and called it lies, but he since deleted that. And so the Chiefs are in the situation where they could keep him on the tag and play with him this year. It seems like they're trying to make a deal, but it's getting caught up with Sneed negotiating a long-term deal with you know, another team. And I know the Chiefs wouldn't mind having him on the franchise tag, but in this situation, there's a lot of moving parts there, right? That could be very difficult to get something done.
You know, what we don't know in the inner workings of the Chiefs and Beach and Reed and everybody is whether they truly want to sign him. This is where the franchise tag is so controlling by an NFL team. I bring it up every year. People say, well, franchise tag only affects 10 players. Actually, it affects hundreds of players because you're setting the market at the top of the chain for the position. It's going to affect everyone downstream. And more importantly, teams, and I did this, use the franchise tag for leverage in negotiations all the time. Because Sneed will not get market value. Whatever the top of the market is, he won't get it. He would get it if he didn't have the tag, but he won't. So he's got a choice. Like, are you going to take the Chiefs' offer, if they're even making one, or are you going to play this game where maybe you are rented for a year, and we'll figure it out next year? Or do the Chiefs really, in their heart of hearts, want to trade him? And if you're trading for him, you've got to figure out draft compensation, and you've got to figure out money compensation. It's not an easy trade. So I think whatever is going to happen won't happen for a while. And there's got to be leverage points, whether it's the draft or the start of training camp, which he doesn't have to go to. This thing could take a while. But what we don't know, and they'll never admit, is whether they really want to sign him. Or do they want to, A, trade him, or B, rent him for a year at that number?
You've got to be willing to have him play for a year on that number if you're going to use the franchise tag, though, don't you? I mean, you can't slap the tag on him and then end up stuck with it when that's not what you, I guess, that's not a bluff you can make, is it?
No, you've got to have him. I mean, again, if they want to trade him, I'm sure they can trade him. But we've seen a couple of these franchise guys. Johnson is, I believe, the same position at Chicago. And Matabuke at Baltimore, the D lineman, you know, basically they were tagged as a placeholder to getting a deal done, like, right away. That's not happening here. So whatever the market is, whatever Sneed wants, I don't know. I mean, my question is, are they negotiating? Or are they just sitting apart and maybe they work on a trade or maybe they let him sit for the year at that number? So if they're negotiating, I think there's a market out there, and I think Johnson did whatever he did, and you look at the franchise tag for 2 years and get above that, and there's a way to make this deal if they really want to.
Andrew, I wanted to ask you about something that you retweeted that was, boy, it was surprising yesterday to see the contract that the Browns gave Jerry Jeudy after they acquired him and we already know how much money they're giving Deshaun Watson, and he is yet to live up to that. But I mean, just that contract doesn't match the production from Jerry Jeudy. What was your reaction to that? I know that you mentioned that, you know, we'll have to see how much, you know, what's real from that contract. But still, that was an eye opener.
Sure was to me too. He's been underperformed. I mean, it's nice that they locked him up for the future, but I can't believe it's reported 58 total, 41 guaranteed. Gosh, I can't believe it. So
right.
So as I say to everyone every day that I'm screaming from the mountaintops, and hopefully I have a big enough pulpit to get through to a lot of people. Never believe what you read about these contracts. They're not baseball, where everything is real money. Now, Deshaun Watson is the one contract in NFL history that you say, yes, believe that. Believe that. That's real. $230 million, real. But not anyone else. and so I got to see Jeudy's deal, obviously, and all these deals. You know, Chris Jones, I looked at that and those numbers reported, and then I looked at the deal, and I'm like, okay, wow. That's 95 real. I don't know, you know, what the total number is. But that's 95 real. So 95 real over 3 is like 31, 32. That's right there with Aaron Donald and Nick Bosa. So there's not a lot of fluff there. Now, it took 2 years for Jones to get that deal. But when I look at deals, I always say, what's real? And Jones is one of the real ones, and there are not a lot out there. Now, again, free agency this year, bigger salary cap. We looked for what was going to happen. It's same as always, guys. It's 10 to 12 golden ticket winners, and everyone else is kind of scrambling.
The fact that out of all of the contracts in NFL history, Deshaun Watson is the one that got one that's fully guaranteed. It's got to be one of the worst cases of malpractice ever.
It's amazing, and I've said this for 2 years. Like, again, this guy, because it's kind of faded from consciousness what was going on at the time he did the deal, which was 20, 40, 60 massage therapists accusing him of misconduct. So, yes, it happened. Now, as you know, since then, the owners have fought back. And I wondered at the time, would there be a precedent? Now, Mahomes was under contract, but would all these young guys with leverage get the fully guaranteed? And no one did. Not Hurts, not Burrow, not Herbert, not even Lamar, even though Lamar got the best money in the first 3 years. So it didn't happen. So the owners sort of won the second round there.
Okay, my final question for you, and boy, this is a loaded one, but maybe you could shed some insight. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers earlier. He seems crazy. I don't. I mean, you were around him. What exactly is going on with Aaron Rodgers right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to duck it, but I knew Aaron Rodgers well. I don't know Aaron Rodgers well. You know, when I was close with Aaron, he was starting his career. He was a backup. He's a young kid in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We loved him. We said, this is our future. He came in right away with the confidence, with obviously arm strength and mobility and intelligence off the charts on the field, that we felt right away this could be our guy. As I'm sure they felt about Jordan Love as Aaron was the king there. So we'll see. I'm not going to comment on what he said or what he's doing, but I just think he's a singular talent. I saw it up close. For the beginning of his career, and obviously staying a fan all those years with the Packers, he brought a lot of joy to Packers fans for so long, so I can't deny that. But I don't know this Aaron Rodgers, no.
So from just a talent perspective, you were around great quarterbacks, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers. You've seen great quarterbacks. where do you think Patrick Mahomes ranks up against the best quarterbacks you've seen?
Yeah, like your Reed question, you got to look at it, you know, when we're old in our rocking chairs looking at it. But I think, you know, the arm talent's at the top. Because I'm not a scout, but when you scout that position, you got to have the arm. Because if you can't make the throws, you can't teach it, right? If you can't make the cross field out or whatever it is, you're starting behind the eight ball. So the arm strength, like the two guys I worked with, I mean, Aaron and Brett, it's just like you got to, and Jordan Love, Packers know what they're doing. So you got to start with that. Right, start with incredible arm strength that puts you at a level of very few in the world, and go from there. But I mean, I'm like everyone else. I'm a fan of Mahomes. I just, more than anything this year, as you guys I'm sure have talked about for hours and hours, I looked at the quotes after the games where there were drop passes, where there were mistakes by his receiving corps. Never pointed a finger. Love that. Love that. Never complained about the Hill trade. Just that leadership is something you always look for.
That's a perfect contrast for what we're talking about with Aaron Rodgers right now, isn't it? I mean, I feel like you tell me how much it matters, but for a quarterback, I mean, you always hear about how coaches hate distractions. I mean, mm-hmm. What a juxtaposition, isn't it, between someone like Mahomes and what you're seeing with Aaron Rodgers right now?
But again, I didn't see that with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I saw Aaron as a popular guy in our locker room. I saw that. So again, different times, different spaces.
Andrew, thank you so much for the time. It was great talking football with you again. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. By the way, I've got tweets about asking about my newsletter. Just go to andrew-brandt.com and sign up. And then I do reels on Instagram with this kind of stuff, videos. So andrewbrandt2 at Instagram.
So andrew-brandt.com. And then what's the Instagram handle again?
andrewbrandt2.
All right. We'll direct all of our listeners there to get some more great information from you. As always, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
That's Andrew Brandt. Good stuff there. So, getting back to the L'Jarius Sneed thing, and it's gone now, but at around, what time was it? It was before 5 a.m. I know this, because I had not, I looked at the clock, okay? And so, there is a tweet out there. And I will tell you exactly what it was. So Matt Verderame, who writes for SI Now, covers football, NFL. I'm just gonna go through this, okay? Someone named Connor Christofferson from Arrowhead Report tweeted out some information that Matt Verderame had reported. Okay, and it was that Sneed is sticking to his asking price of $22+ million a year because he wants to be the highest paid cornerback in the league, and the Chiefs and at least one team had agreed to a trade, but Sneed turned down an offer for 4 years, $80 million. And then somebody asked this Connor person, source? Matt Verderame answered him, me. So he says he's a source. That's what he's reporting, right? And so in the 4 a.m. hour, L'Jarius Sneed retweeted that, and I didn't screenshot it, but I went to it, and it was gone. But I saw it again real quick, and it was, I'm going to get almost every word right, but it was something to the effect of, heading to go work out, and I see lies. So he just said he was heading to go work out, and he sees lies, and he retweeted that. But then, when I go back to it 3 hours later, Snead deleted that tweet.
Yeah, I saw that tweet this morning.
So you saw it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay, I retweeted it as well. Saw it from you, retweeted it, and it's gone. So I don't know if his agent just told him, hey, man, don't get involved.
What do we take away from that? If that's what they're asking and that's what the holdup is, does that irritate you at all that the Chiefs would have agreed to a deal with the team and Snead turned down 4 years, $80 million?
Well, not until I know how it's going to play out, right? Like, if who knows? If this is an ongoing negotiation, Andrew Brandt tells us it's going to take a little mm-hmm. while to get the compensation right. That's how negotiations happen sometimes. If it turns out that the Chiefs wanted to trade him and they couldn't because he wouldn't agree to a deal and they have to bring him back on a one-year deal, we've already talked about it. Like, I'm not – that is not a loss for me for the Chiefs. That's something that's okay.
Man,
it would be a little.
4 years, $80 million would be.
It seems like that's asking a little. Yeah, that's asking
okay.
a little much.
Would you want the Chiefs to sign into that deal?
No.
Jake?
No, of course I would not want the Chiefs to sign him to that deal, but I think that's the going rate. Like, I think him asking for that.
He wants 22 plus.
Right. Well, I mean, I think getting 20 mil per for him for 4 years would be. Yeah. I guess it can't anger me unless I knew, like, if the compensation was like a second round pick, that probably would.
Right. Yeah.
All reports words, it's a third, though.
A third and maybe a pick in 2025, right?
Yeah.
And also, like, how much of it is guaranteed? That's the other thing we keep. It's an $80 million contract with $50 million guaranteed.
Right.
You know, how much of the $80 million are we talking here? He apparently wants $88 million, but I would bet more than anything.
He wants the guaranteed money.
It's the guaranteed money that what they care about. So, if the Chiefs don't get what they want, and it's partially because Snead's holding out for a couple million extra here or there that he's not likely to get, yeah, that's a little annoying. But
yeah, it is.
But we'll see how it plays out.
Also, you know, that might scare teams off from being like, well, we don't want to go there. Right.
Right. It limits your ability to trade him for a better. Yeah, like if he's holding for so much money that they think teams think he's unsignable.
Inquiring about
yeah,
him.
You lose your leverage in terms of, well, multiple teams you could try to, you know, negotiate with from a trade standpoint. So. Who knows what to believe in all this? I mean, you got reporters, like respected reporters, saying that one thing has happened. Other respected reporters saying no conversations have happened at all. You got L'Jarius Sneed saying lies, but what he didn't say what the truth is. He just said these are lies.
And it's exactly what the NFL wants.
Get everybody talking.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
People love to jump to conclusions about things.
The Bears signed Jalen Johnson to a 4-year, $76 million deal.
Say how much is guaranteed? Because Snead should get more than him, don't I feel?
No.
Ooh.
No. He's 24 years old.
Is he as good as Snead, though?
He's pretty damn good. But he's also 3 years younger.
4 years, $76 million, $20 million signing bonus, $51.4 million guaranteed. Average salary, $19 million. 24 years old does make a difference.
And, yeah.
he was a franchise tag.
Yeah. That does make a difference.
So.
I watched Snead more closely than him, so maybe he's
did
good Snead.
I'm not sure I believe you. You were watching a lot of Bears games up close.
It's hard for me to believe he's as good as L'Jarius Snead.
I didn't say he was as good. But who would I rather pay? I'd rather pay Johnson. If I'm giving a 4-year deal to one of those two players, I'm doing what the Bears did.
But he wants more than him, and so that's where that makes a difference too.
Reportedly,
well, I wouldn't imagine he'd want less.
I mean, I'm sure that's the standard,
right?
That's where they start.
We'll take a break. I want Lebo in here. Will he come in here?
I'll see what I can do.
He just walked by. He was at that meeting last night. I want to see his slugger and...
What are you laughing about? We got a press release about it, and you're giggling like it's not true.
How do you not laugh at it, though?
Because it's funny. It sounds like an Onion article.
Did you get the press release?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Would you like me to forward it to you?
Yes.
Mr. Giggles.
Who's it from? The Onion? Mascots to canvas for stadium.
Well, they are.
And it's kind of ridiculous.
You can laugh all you want, and they're doing
they're gonna
it.
Like, so. Are they going to do that? Like,
I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah, I don't
like
know if they're going to rappel in.
They're going to stand at a door with like a bunch of note cards and just show you what they have to say?
I don't know. I'm not the one in charge of it.
You can get those guys to talk, though.
No, you can't.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. When I was on top of Chopper, he was talking to me.
Well, he's not involved, is he?
No.
But. Oh, that was when you tackled Chopper after I scored on you in the...
No, after he scored on me, Nate.
Oh, yeah,
he did not score.
I scored on you.
It took you 8 years to score
on
me.
No, I scored on you that day.
No, you didn't.
Nobody scored on me that day.
Nobody scored on me. That's why I was pissed. Because I was getting ready to take a goal kick, and he kicked the ball into the goal.
I thought he kicked it away from you, and then I scored. I remember scoring on you that day.
No, nobody scored on me that day. He kicked the ball into the goal, and then they called the game.
I scored on you at the cab.
You did, but not that year.
Okay, not that year.
Not that year, buddy.
It took you 8 years to score on me.
Let's take a break. Let's see if we can lure Todd Lebo into studio. Back after this on WHB. Here's the deal. You come in and defend me, friend Todd Lebo. Mike Boddicker can't hear. He had to have those things up. Listen to me. These guys are telling me that they're claiming that I'm not being truthful. I just sent you the press release. What did it say?
You missed this event?
It was yesterday. What does the press release say? I sent it to you too, Jake. Read it.
Press release. I don't know who this press release is from.
It's from
the press team.
Press team.
Let me say it. Okay, I'm going to say it. We're doing this right. Distributed by the committee to keep the Chiefs and Royals in Jackson County, Whitney Beaver, treasurer.
You made all that up.
I did not.
Read it for yourself.
I'll say it again. Distributed by the committee to keep the Chiefs and Royals in Jackson County, Whitney Beaver, treasurer.
Nice Beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Let me help you with that.
Now read the press release. Read the headline of the press release.
Media advisory.
Yes.
Casey Wolf, slugger, to canvass at Union Station, encouraging yes vote on question one.
Thank you.
Has no excuse, absentee voting stars.
Slugger.
Yes. Slugger.
Today, Kansas City, Missouri, Dateline.
That was yesterday, but.
Today, the iconic mascots of the Kansas City Chiefs, Casey Wolf, and the Kansas City Royals, Slugger, will join forces as no excuse early voting for the April 2 election begins,
urging
Jackson County residents to vote yes on question one to keep the Kansas City Chiefs and Kansas City Royals in the county for generations
to come. They accuse me of making this up.
Why would they do that? It sounds like an Onion article.
Okay, so where did you go last night?
I went to the Kansas City Public Library.
Did you check out any books?
No, I didn't.
You should.
I didn't. I don't have a Kansas City Public Library card. I have a Mid-Continent Library
card somewhere. What was it set up for and how many people showed up? Was it standing room only? What do we got here?
They have a nice event space downstairs there.
Very nice.
It holds like probably 500 people or something. And
it looked like a big room.
It was packed, but you couldn't just show up. You had to register. They didn't want it to be overflowed, and it was overflowing. People were standing. I was not sitting. I was standing.
Were people yelling?
They weren't yelling during the deal as much because they wanted to keep this very calm because they're putting it on TV on KCPT Channel 19.
Okay, who's on the stage?
On the stage, Sarah Tourville, she's got a very long title with the Royals, Community Engagement President or something like that.
So she's on stage.
She's the Royals representative. Sly James, former mayor, who is an operative on the yes side. There's an author.
I like Sly James.
An operative.
There's an author named Gary Sarnoff, who I don't know why he was there. He's an author who writes books about baseball stadiums.
What side's he on?
He was in the middle. He's right in the middle. I don't think he needed the middle guy there.
Okay.
There was Becky Nace, who's a former city council member, who's an operative for the no side.
Okay.
And there's this guy. His name is Gary Tuohy. He's an anti-tax for things like this guy. So he's a no guy.
Okay. What's his name?
Gary Tuohy.
Okay.
Which is how you say his name.
Is he related to the woman, the mom in The Blind Side? Is that, what, that was her
different.
Last name. Okay. All right. Just asking.
I think his name was Gary Tuohy. God, I hope I didn't get that
wrong. Okay.
I
so.
A documentary on that. Not to
right.
reveal, but.
But go ahead.
Not very good people.
Uh-huh. That's, we've talked
you
about
don't
that.
Say.
So then what's the format?
Do the they format. That, so if you're a big public access TV watcher, right?
Sure, I love it.
There's a guy, Nick Haynes, who does the show Ruckus
yeah,
on there. He was the moderator.
I'm a fan of that show.
Yeah.
That's a good
He's
show.
Yeah, so he was the moderator. So he asked
That's a
the
good
questions,
show.
And they had a pretty sophisticated deal where they would pass out cards. They didn't want people asking questions out loud.
Why
so,
not?
So they passed out, and you could write your question down, and then they would read the question.
But then they get to pick what questions. How come they don't let people ask?
Well, they went through and had questions
the question
from
want.
Both sides.
Oh, okay.
It was, and the thing went about an hour. And there were times in there where it was a very no-heavy room because Stand Up KC and the KC Tennis Association, they had gone and registered early to get seats. And they got there early. And
was
they
Hartzell
sat down
there
front.
With a bullhorn?
I did
you
not
like
see
a...
Hartzell. But they had the people with the yellow shirts of the KC Tennis Association, and the red shirts were the Stand Up KC. And these are groups that are against the stadium.
Was Casey Wolf or Slugger there?
Neither were there.
Okay. What's the big... I was watching people fight over this all on X last night. What is the big reasons that they're against it?
Well, like Gary Tuohy is against just giving public money to billionaires to build stadiums. He right. says build a stadium, build it yourself. A right. lot of people feel that way.
Yeah.
Build yourself.
It happens.
The KC Tenants Association and Stand Up KC seem to be against this at this point because this Mayor James said that today there will be a community benefits agreement that's released. I personally don't understand why the Royals are responsible for affordable public housing in Kansas City. But apparently that's what some of these groups think, that if you're getting some public money for this, that's now your responsibility. That's their deal. So there's lots of people with ideas of why this should be and that should be. This wasn't angry people who are Crossroads business owners who are getting displaced. This was the KC Tenants Association.
How many Crossroads business people will get displaced?
There's something on the order of in the actual footprint, under 20, I think, of
20 businesses.
And they're not all just businesses. Some of them, there's a
church.
There's the church is there. The Church of the Resurrection.
Is there
downtown.
A residency?
There is one small kind of loft thing on the east side of the Old Star building that's over there. So there's not a lot. I mean, that's a lot of. I mean, the biggest thing in there is the Star building, and it is vacant.
Yeah.
And there's actually quite a bit of parking around the Church of the Resurrection and that area. So
is there anyone claiming that they live down there, but they actually don't?
I didn't hear anyone
okay.
say that. Now, I did hear, they talked about why, and this was a big question that I had. Listen, it's last July, went to a press conference out there. They showed me all kinds of pretty pictures of downtown North Kansas City and pretty pictures of the East Village. And then they decided to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, why not the East Village? And this was a part that got some groans. They said if we moved to the East Village, some people would be displaced. Like, because there's a couple of apartment things there, and all these tenant people are like, ah, bleh, bleh.
Harumph, harumph.
Yeah. So.
That does seem like that's a little selective.
Do you, look, if I asked you, right, I asked you to pick games. This is mm-hmm. this is bigger than a game. If I asked you right now to predict who wins the vote, yes or no, what would you say?
Come I'd on, say this: it's a pick 'em, minus 110 on each side. Nobody knows
that close.
Oh, but I think it's close as anything. Yeah,
really,
I do. I think it's.
Do you think
really
there's
close.
A real threat that the Chiefs or Royals leave Kansas City metropolitan
now,
area?
Now, what do you think about Mark Donovan making these threats public?
I don't think. Listen, here's the deal. I'm not going to say Mark Donovan's out here making threats. I think he gets asked questions and you answer the questions.
But then he says it.
And that's the same thing that got asked threat. I mean, Sarah Torbill was asked that last night. That's not
did
a threat.
Did she
a threat is saying, without
do
being
this
asked.
Or.
Yeah. You better vote for this or we're moving to Nashville right now.
Play the clip I sent you.
But. You have to eventually get to that point. They're trying to play as nice as they possibly can, these teams are.
Well, did you say Nashville?
Or there's Salt Lake City, Nashville. Name a town. Portland.
Austin.
Austin. Charlotte.
Who might go there?
The Royals.
No one. The Royals aren't saying they're going to go anywhere. I'm just saying they're not going to stand up and
but
say
when the Chiefs
not
say,
oh, the Chiefs when, not to Nashville, no.
No, the Chiefs are going to... They're threatening just to move to a different part of Kansas City.
They would. There's no chance, in my opinion, that the Chiefs would move anywhere outside of Kansas City.
Play the clip when he was with Kevin Holmes from 41 Action News. Did you see where I said that to you, Jake?
Don't point at him.
Well, I have to. And then he won't.
He's doing work.
Absolutely. Good work.
The question, I guess.
He said the same thing. He got asked the same thing when
That's
they were
fine.
At the Rinder
thing. People need to hear it. Play it.
Could the Royals leave Kansas City, Missouri?
I can't answer that for the Royals. I just know that for us, the Chiefs, we would have to look at all of our options.
Do those options include leaving Kansas City, Missouri?
I think they would have to include leaving Kansas City, but our goal here is that we want to stay here. And we're willing to accept a deal, which is actually better for the county to stay here.
Mm-hmm. So that's not a threat to leave.
What's the deal they have right now?
What is it?
The deal they have right now is they have a lease through 2031. That's the deal they have right
okay.
now.
So what I mean?
So if this thing fails, they're not going anywhere before that.
Right.
You're not
I mean,
breaking the lease.
It does kind of feel like if it fails, they're just put together another plan.
When
right?
you ask the question the way that Kevin asked that question was leaving Kansas City, Missouri. The question to find if there's a real threat to leave somewhere is leave the Kansas City metropolitan area. Because Kansas City, Missouri, of course they can leave Kansas City, Missouri.
Right.
They could go to Independence, Blue Springs, Liberty, Parkville, Kansas City, Kansas, you know, Overland Park.
North Kansas City.
Ooh. I don't think there's room for a football stadium.
Well, there's room for a
baseball
stadium.
Doesn't it feel like, okay, this is ignorance on my part because I'm not.
You're not ignorant.
But it sure seems like North Kansas City made a hell of an offer to the Royals.
They did.
And the Royals went ahead and said, nah, was that just a bluff?
Well,
were they ever
no.
seriously considering that?
I don't think they really were considering it until they got the plans, and the plans were really, really, really cool. But I think that the Royals, brass, the county, Jackson County, North Kansas City is not in Jackson County, the city of Kansas City, these layers of the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority, all these layers of government did not include North Kansas City or Clay County. And I think there's too many things in the lease that they have now that are poison pills that if you left the county, there's a real financial issue if you leave the county, if you're the Royals on this thing. So I think that was the deal. I thought they had a really cool plan. I think it's a very neat area up there. But, dude, Kansas City and Jackson County politics, I know every city, big city, says they're the worst. I don't know how much it's a whole lot worse than around here.
Is Frank White being unfairly criticized?
I think Frank deserves some of the criticism because I talked to Frank last night. He was there in the audience. We chatted. He says he hasn't got a lease. The people should see a lease before this election. The election is less than 2 weeks away. They should see a lease. But my understanding is the lease has been, but the Jackson County Sports Complex Authority has it. Why haven't they given it to Frank? Why hasn't Frank called and said, let me see it? I think there's a lot of, well, I'm not going to call them. They're going to call me going on with this. And that's too bad.
That's not helping anybody.
No,
nah,
it's not helping anyone. A lot of that stuff, in my opinion.
So what happens if no wins?
If no wins, these teams are still under contract and they're leased to stay there until 2031. Now, that was one of the questions last night.
Back to the drawing
board. This Gary Tuohy says, listen, if this gets voted down, they will come back in a year with a better deal for everyone. He says, we need more time to work out a better deal. The embarrassing part about this is the Royals have literally been trying this for 3 years with the county and everyone.
Back to the drawing board.
It's been too many roadblocks put up, and eventually the county legislature put it on their agenda, and then Frank and two of the legislators vetoed it and stood in unison, but everyone else, you know, supermajority and passed it. So, you know, this is just how government works. It's gross, it's dirty, it's ugly.
And that's why I'm out.
And everybody wants to get their piece of the pie financially. There's,
and listen, I don't think they all want a piece of the pie financially as much as they all. Sometimes there, I think there is some altruistic thoughts out there. They want what's best for the people. I do think there is some of that.
Who's they?
I think a lot of people. I think Frank White wants what's best for the county in some ways. I think the legislators want best for the county and the city in some ways. I don't think they're all going to get paid on this thing. You know what I mean? I don't think this is some dirty kickback scheme on a lot of this. I'll tell you who wants money. You know who wants money? People who work. I mean, building a stadium would be jobs in Kansas City. That would be, and they wouldn't be forever jobs. But if you're a construction worker, electrician, or laborer, you're pouring concrete, all that. That's real jobs for like a long time. That's like a 4-year project. That's how that business works.
Will you stay through the break? I'm told we need to take a quick break. Will you stay for a few more
moments?
I'm
very busy.
No,
yes.
You're not.
I have a meeting at 9.
This is very important, and you are providing information to the listeners. Back after this on WHB.
I'm due for a meeting.
Wrap this up for me.
Well,
so what's next?
What's next is
there more meetings, more town halls, more yelling?
There'll be more Slugger and Casey Wolf will be where?
Right.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, Union Station canvassing.
You can vote right now if you're at Jackson County and early voting has happened. But I mean, it's going to be I think a pretty nervous night on April 2nd, watching these results come in. I don't think this is any slam dunk.
Are we going to have you reporting live
with the results?
Yes.
From the polling precincts.
Yeah.
Hey, I wouldn't mind. I think we should go out, get a couple polling places on the second, talk people coming out.
Can we send Jake out there? He's the perfect person for it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm in a bad mood.
Okay.
We did that back in whatever that was. So seven went around.
Have you filled out a bracket?
I did fill out a bracket.
I have Colorado State now as my Cinderella. Would you like to know why they have become the darlings of the NCAA tournament?
Why?
When we were talking about Colorado State, I did not know this very simple fact. Do you know what I'm getting ready to present,
no.
Jake or Nate?
No.
No.
Would you like to see the top assistant under Nico Medved at Colorado State?
I'm ready.
If I show it to you, will you announce it to the crowd?
Yes.
Please let us all know who that is.
Ali Farouk Manesh. Yes.
A hero of March. Did you know he's the top assistant for Colorado State?
I did not know that.
Is that why you love them so much?
Well, you know, I respect him.
I do respect him. You don't respect him at all.
Jake hates.
Look at this guy.
That's really Jake.
Does this sour you on Colorado State?
There's a hotel room in Spokane, Washington that'll never be the same.
For what reason? Huh?
Many.
Does this cause you to have soured now in Colorado State?
Well, I was thinking last night, like, I think they have a good – Texas is so unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who they play in the next
round. I picked
them. I was thinking about last night, but now I'm
– You love Colorado? Fort Collins is up there.
I do love Fort
Collins.
You love
Colorado.
I do not love that man.
Ali Farouk Manesh.
Doing a hell of a job as lead assistant for Colorado State.
Yeah.
That dude would not
2010?
Miss. No matter how hard I threw my cocktail glass against the wall.
I bet you did.
And then it was like, you go down and don't shoot that. Run the clock. No! You made it.
Thank you very much, Todd.
Yes.
For going out there and covering. You like this stuff, don't you?
I do like this. It's important. I mean, this is a really important thing. The weird part is, it's an important thing for all of our city, but only a portion of our city is going to vote on it. That's just kind of the weird part about this. That's one of the idiosyncrasies that happen when we live on this state line that divides us in so many ways.
Tina said,
but sports unite us.
Lebo, thanks for the information about the stadium vote. Very informative. Look at you.
You're welcome.
You know?
What? Real sour taste in my mouth right now.
No, you just get right, man.
I was having such a good morning.
Have a ginger shot.
I have one, but
right.
Man.
Have another one.
My stomach hurts.
Did I tell you what happened when I walked up the other day and Jake was shaking his ginger shot? It was weird looking from behind.
Well, I bet it was.
What are you doing in the studio, Jake?
Come here and I'll show you.
Go now to your precious meeting.
Big meeting.
I'll leave
this little postcard with you. Guys can QR code this and get some information.
Oh, I'd love it.
Todd, your man,
so
do not let that happen.
That's Todd Lebo. He does it all. Back into this on WHB.
Please.